So in looking at the broad global economy, we often see stories about corruption in places like Congo, Somalia, and particularly in Zimbabwe, where there is a political stalemate plus hyperinflation, and think that those are the kinds of things that don't happen in a more functional economy, say, for instance, the United States. But a new book, Economic Gangsters, Corruption, Violence, and the Poverty of Nations, co-written by Edward Miguel, who joins us now. He's a professor of economics at UC Berkeley, suggests that the motivations of someone like Mobutu in Zaire years ago, and Bernard Madoff and the billions that he stole, $50 billion by the latest estimate, from investors all around the world, are actually much more similar than we might think. Edward Miguel, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning.
How would you say that corruption in both the kind of white-collar, ultra-rich world of the financial system in, marketplace capitalism is similar to the kinds of corruptions we see in emerging nations?
Well, the thing that's similar about them is really human nature. Human beings try to make money and fill their wallet wherever they are. And in the case of somebody like Mobutu in Congo, that consisted of stealing foreign aid money, that consisted of skimming money off the state budget. In the case of Bernard Madoff, it consisted of stealing his investors' money. But the fundamental human incentives and human behaviors and human psychology are the same. So we can use the same kinds of tools of economics to understand them both. That's really the central premise of the book, is that economic analysis allows us to gain new insights, both in rich countries and in poor.
Now, to simply say that human nature explains corruption both on the high and the low end of the scale, or the emerging nation and the industrialized end of the scale, is only part of the story. We've had economists on this program critique the compensation strategies of banks and financial institutions as a kind of a skimming scheme that channels lots and lots of money into bankers' pockets. Would you say that the way those schemes work actually looks suspiciously like the way someone like Mugabe or Mobutu skimmed money off of all kinds of services being performed by his government in interaction with other countries?
Well, I think there are similarities. I think the thing that sets the U.S. apart, or rich countries apart, from less developed countries very often are the sorts of legal institutions and regulatory institutions that constrain behavior. But if the institutions are set up in a way that makes it profitable for people to steal, people in rich and poor countries will very often act the same way. And the title of our book, Economic Gangsters, really captures that idea. There's an economic gangster inside of all of us, and if the conditions are right and the regulations are weak, the institutions are weak, that economic gangster could come out.
Can you explain further what you mean by constrained behavior? We can look at nearly every decade in the United States, and there has been an enormous corruptive scale, a corruption that had to do with people in business. So when you say constrained behavior, in what way? How was Madoff, for example, constrained?
Well, the regulatory environment is going to be very important. The regulatory environment in the U.S., say in the financial sector, has actually changed a lot over the last few decades. You can do a lot more. You have a lot more flexibility today than you did a few decades ago. So somebody like Madoff may not have existed under a more stringent regulatory scheme. It's actually a very troubling development. You know, our book focuses mainly on less developed countries, and we focus on poor countries in Latin America, Africa, and Asia. We focus on the actions of their leaders, who are often very corrupt. Now, over the last 6 months, there have been an increasing number of political and financial corruption scandals in the U.S. that really just show how universal these problems are.
You've got to write a new chapter. Well, quickly before we go, how do you distinguish between someone who is fundamentally corrupt and someone who is simply in an operation where, hey, it's legal, everybody else is taking the money, why shouldn't I get mine?
That's a very good question. One of the issues that we talk about a lot in the book is a culture of corruption that can develop, where otherwise good people, when caught up in that culture, can behave in a way that is very corrupt. So in the New York area, think of the Long Island Railroad scandal that developed this past summer, where I think it was 95-98% of retirees claimed disability.
The cultural point is actually well taken. Edward Miguel, he wrote the book Economic Gangsters, Corruption, Violence, and the Poverty of Nations, co-wrote it with economist Raymond Fisman. He's a professor of economics at the UC Berkeley School. Thank you, Edward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. A fascinating discussion. The culture of the gangster within all of us. Femi Okeh doesn't have a gangster with her. She does have the headlines, though.
Good morning. 22 minutes to the top of the hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.